Okay, I'll bring this meeting to order. It's April 11th, 2022. The board's mission is to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the public who seek to use the services of nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02, notice is hereby given to the members of the state of Arizona Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers and the general public at the regular monthly meeting, which is open to the public. It's held here in the boardroom at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Group Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona, at 9 a.m. Persons with a disability may request reasonable accommodations, which are such as a sign language interpreter. They're contacting Jack Confer or through the Arizona Relay Service. Please make your request as soon as possible, all time for to arrange accommodation. The board president reserves the right to change the order of the items listed on the agenda, except for matters scheduled at a specific time. The agenda is subject to change 24 hours prior to the meeting. Board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the board, upon majority vote of a quorum of members, may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on any matter listed on the agenda presented to ARS 38-431.0383, and for the purpose of discussion or consideration of confidential material pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382. The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is confidential, so please refer to a resident by their initials or the term resident. Items that are referenced as a consent agenda may be considered as a single action when a board member removes a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from the other consent agenda items. The board will review, discuss, and may take action on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for the April 11, 2022 regular board meeting is as follows. We have called order. Next, we will do roll call.
President Kidder?
Here.
Vice President Archer?
Here.
Member Randolph?
Here.
Member Siemens?
Here.
Member Stephen?
Here.
Member Campbell?
Present.
All right, thank you. And please at this time make sure everybody's microphone is turned on. Okay. Thank you. Declaration of conflicts of interest. Pursuant to ARS 38-503. Are there any conflicts of interest of any items listed on the agenda at this time?
Mr. President, I would disclose on item 37 that I know this person but have no independent knowledge. The case.
Okay, is that Deborah Cop, item 36. So you are acquainted with, you do not have any independent knowledge, so you will not have any bias in the case?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? All right, moving on. Call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board forum so that the board is aware that they are here and that they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02H, the board can discuss or take action only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing staff to study the matter or schedule the matter for further discussion at a future meeting. And at this time, is there anyone that wishes to address the board that is not already listed on the agenda? Okay, seeing anyone? All right, hearing none, we move on. Review and discussion of possible action. And on approval of minutes, board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information. ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice. Board review, consideration, and action on approval of minutes. Regular minutes from March 21, 2022. Have a motion.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All emotion. and Susan second. Discussion? Hearing none, we'll take it to a roll call vote.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Excuse me, that was Vice President Archer, not member. President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries unanimously. Review, discussion, and possible action on complaint case reviews. The board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information. ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice. And again, as a reminder, the name of the resident is confidential. So during our public session, board members, staff, and licensee or certificate holders should refer to the resident as the resident or by using simply the resident's initials. The board may lock vote on these initial case reviews as desired. We move on now to the consent agenda. Items may be considered as a single action unless board member or interested party wishes to remove an item for discussion.
Mr. President, I move the consent agenda.
Okay, is item number one, complaint number 21-144, is Savino Guidelli here?
Yes, here.
Okay, come on up. Good morning. For the record, would you please state your name?
My name is Savino Guidelli, Jr.
Okay, thanks for being here today. Okay, you would go ahead and outline the case for us.
Good morning, Mr. President and board staff members. This is case number 21-144. The licensee is Savino Guidelli. I'm sorry. Not pronouncing the name correctly. On September 10, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Better Life Assisted Living, LLC, located at 4086 South Birch Street in Chandler, Arizona. The complaint investigation identified 69 deficiencies in 8 different areas. Mr. Cuddley was notified of the complaint to which he did respond. On approximately October 20th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,500 upon the facility licensee, Better Life Living Assisted Living, LLC, for the following substantiated violations. 2 employees did not have personnel records. The manager failed to ensure that the facility obtained a written determination from a medical practitioner for 2 bed-bound residents. Mr. Cuddley is here to present his case.
All right, thank you. Okay, Mr. Cuddley, how long have you been a manager at this facility?
Been a manager, just recently became a manager, I think it was 2019, the last part of 2019.
August of 2020?
Oh, is it August 2020?
And when did you take over this facility?
I took over actually, he just upon passing the board exams for the second time. I took the exams twice. The first time I failed.
When did you become manager at this facility?
Is he meeting in person?
Excuse me. Can you say that again?
Is he meeting in person?
Do you need an interpreter, sir?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm good. I'm just trying to look for the email of Zakiya to me. That will show me the date when I was.
Give me your best guess. About when did you start? Did you start 2020?
I think the late part of 2019.
Okay, but you didn't become manager until August of 2020.
So when did you start working at the facility that you're at now? What day?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to recall. Because I took the test and I failed, and then I took the test again and finally passed it. And that was, I think, about July.
Is that when you went to work then? Because you would have been working and not having a license as a manager.
Yes, July.
Mr. President, members of the board, I just reviewed his record in our database. It looks like he was issued his license in August of 2020.
Oh, 2020.
And I do not have in the computer record, I don't have a notice of appointment. All we have is the license being issued.
Okay, all right. Well, if that becomes necessary, we will come back to that. You do understand that you're responsible to report to the board when you accept a position as a manager. And it's expected that when you leave as a manager, that you also notify the board. Okay? All right, so let's talk about your 2 of 5 sampled employees were volunteers that did not have a personnel record maintained at the facility. What happened there?
Can you tell me who these particular people are? Because I think one is my wife, who is the nurse supposedly on guard, but she had her complete papers with the other care home we had called St. Rita, and I think we just didn't move her papers from where it was to this Better Life assistant team.
Okay, before we identify that, and you asking me questions, let's dig a little deeper. And how much time do you spend at this facility each week?
I pretty much go there once, twice a week.
And how many hours total in the week?
Just to check on what are the required papers that are needed. But in this particular case, I think I didn't inspect the papers of my wife and another employee, which was another employee in our other facility that moved to the to this.
Are you managing 2 homes?
At that particular time, yeah.
Okay. Member Stephen, question?
I have a question. I'd like to hear from you. My review of the record that you're here for today is that you had 16 deficiencies in 8 areas, and yet your comment was, I'm not sure how the deficiencies showed up. I thought we were ready for inspection. Could you tell me what your process is to make sure you are ready for inspection that you use? Because clearly you weren't.
Well, the deficiencies were deficiencies from the past owners in this particular case, and I was not very much aware about that. we were not aware.
So why were you not aware?
When we took over, that particular topic of deficiencies was not taken as a subject for us to...
Well, you seem to know when you were, you're saying it was before you took over, but then when you were asked the question, when did you take over, you're really struggling with the date as to when you took over the facility. Mm-hmm. So how do we judge which is the accurate information?
I really don't know.
The board president asked you a question about how many hours you're in a facility.
Yeah.
I have not heard you answer that. I think it's really important that you listen to the question.
Yeah, I go there every, maybe twice.
Right? Okay, but yeah. So how many hours is that?
Maybe four, five
a week?
Hours. Three times a week.
Sorry?
Three times a week.
So your testimony is that you're in the facility about 15 hours per week, is that correct?
Something like that.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have employees there. They're there. I go and find out what their problems are, and they seem to say they're all right, so.
Thank you.
I think I just listen to them.
So the other question, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The other question that was asked is, you stated that you thought you were ready for survey, and so to get ready for survey, what steps do you take?
Well, I went through the paperwork. There was some in one of the particular part of the inspections that. They were looking for determination, continued
residency,
something like that, which was misplaced. And during the time when I inspected it, it was there. But then when the inspector came in, all of a sudden we couldn't locate it for some reason, I don't know. But later on, I tried to look for it and we found it. Was there.
So did somebody take it out of the notebook?
I don't know. We probably oversee this. We probably just have overlooked
it.
Yeah.
Okay. What else do you do though to prepare for when you know a surveyor is coming?
Of course, I try to look and see what probable deficiencies we might have, you know.
Are you relying on your workers to tell you what deficiencies
no.
they think you might have?
No, I do it myself. And I try to see every single thing, especially the paperwork, because I think paperwork is one of the most important things.
Well, I find it very challenging to try to really identify what you were doing in this facility prior to the time of the inspection. You refer to documentation as a residency, continued residency, or something like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give me a lot of confidence in your properly monitoring this facility. And it makes me question, do you truly understand what responsibilities are of a certified manager?
Yes, I do, but during the time I was having a lot of problems with our other facility, which I finally closed because of problems with people that I cannot hire for, who cannot hire caregiver that we can really rely on to help. And so for that reason, during the time I finally closed shop, let Silti move on to this better life where there's all these kinds of complaints that came up during the inspection.
So did you, in closing that shop, did you close this home?
Yeah.
Okay, so are you managing any facilities right now?
Just this better life, that's all.
Just one home?
Yes.
I would suggest that the number being, I'd suggest the test.
You say it again, Melanie? Right, we're getting a lot of.
I would suggest.
Static in that line.
Okay, I would suggest the manager's course and test.
I agree. All right, so I'm prepared to make a motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 436-446.07B3, ARS 446-10, AACR 433-407-AMB1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-144 involving Sabina Catalan, and the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days for the matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate to stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $560. Complete a 40-hour manager training program with executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion. Successfully pass the state examination for examiners administered by the board. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
I second.
Okay, Ken motion, Wally second. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll take it to a roll call vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye. All right, motion carries. Thank you very much.
So the board voted to offer you a consent agreement to resolve the allegations. Staff will send that to you within the next week to 10 days. If you have questions, when we receive it, let us know. Okay? Thank you very much for coming down today.
Okay, moving on. Number two, complaint 21-176, Melinda Leakery. Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for being here today. For the record, would you please state your name?
Melinda Leakery.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Brandon, if you got any case for us.
This is case number 21-176. The licensee is Melinda Leakery. On September 29, 2021, DHS conducted an on-site investigation of complaint numbers AZ00167490, AZ00167959, AZ00175115, and AZ00176481 at Heritage Village Building 2, located at 835 East Broadway Road in Mesa, Arizona. An off-site documentation review was completed on October 4, 2021. 7 of the 11 allegations were substantiated. 4 of 11 allegations were unable to be substantiated. And it says that involving that, it says there were really 9 citations listed at this time. The licensee was notice of the complaint, and at the time she stated she was no longer the manager. and Ms. Levine, who was the current manager, responded with a response. On November 9th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violation. The facility failed to ensure a caregiver provided documentation of completion of a caregiver training program approved by the department or the Board of Examiners for Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers, NCIA, for one individual sample who was hired as a caregiver. That concludes my synopsis.
All right, thanks, sir. Okay, how large is this facility?
We have approximately right now we have 140 residents. We potentially could have 184.
And when did you start there as the manager?
So I actually I've worked there for about 6 years as the marketing director. I have my manager's license just because I wanted to further my education. So at this time of this complaint, my license was not on the wall. I just got the call on Thursday that I needed to be here. It was Gabriella Lovia, whose license was, there was a temporary, and then I did hang it from May 17th to August 17th. And at that time, she told me that her license was going up and I no longer needed to hang mine, so mine was removed.
Can you give me those dates
again? May 17th, 2021 to August 17th, 2021.
So the investigation was September 29th, and your testimony is, I am not the manager of the facility.
Yes.
Was your license on the wall at all at that point?
No.
So during your time as a manager, 3 months total?
Yes.
Okay. During that time that you were there, what were your efforts to try to identify your systems that working, not working, things that you needed to change?
So I think when we hired her to be the operational manager, she had given us faith that she knew what she was doing. She came from skilled. We thought she was going to bring a lot of really good, I mean, she knew all the things, you know, and come to find out, we were extremely fooled. She no longer works for us. So during that time, I wasn't really involved operationally. My license is now hanging again on the wall as of 30 days, so I am much more involved operationally, even though I'm still the marketing director.
Okay, so you learned something. When your certificate is hanging, you're responsible.
Absolutely.
Ultimately. And that's why you're here, because even though you weren't at the time of the inspection, you're still certified manager and responsible for the operations. Okay. So you took over in May. Who was the manager before you? So it was Gabriella?
Gabriella Lavia. She was there the whole time. I believe she took over in August after my license was done. After. She was there. She was hired in April waiting to get her license.
And who was manager before you came in? You said there was a temporary?
Before she came in, it was Courtney Hanna.
How many managers have there been there in the last year? I'm getting a little confused.
In the last year,
somebody was there right before you. You took over briefly.
Well, I've just been there forever.
Then, and now she's gone, and there's another manager there, or you're hanging your license again on the wall. 186 bed center.
Yes.
And that could lead to a little bit of confusion.
Yeah, it's confusing, absolutely. We had a manager there that was there for about a year and a half, and then she left, and then Gabriella was hired at that time.
And she was let go, or what happened?
She was just let go. She was there for about a year.
And came back on?
After Courtney was gone in the interim, because I had my license, I hung it for 3 months. while they had hired a new administrator to come in. In the meantime, she was working on getting her license. So she was that operational manager the entire time, working on receiving her license, and so for those 3 months is when I hung up.
So you were, you said you had some confidence in her as operations manager.
Absolutely.
You're hanging your certificate again. What are you doing differently to oversee, even if you have another operations manager, what are you doing as the manager?
So we are involved in every day. We're having a meeting, we're going through files. We have, our management company has sent down regional help for every department, making sure that we are up to par in every area. We know that we have a lot of work to do, so we've been doing fantastic in that. All of our daily meetings, all of our QAs, I mean, we're doing a lot of things to make sure that we're trying to get there.
So you do have some additional consultants or
yes.
support yep. looking at other departmental
Absolutely.
Issues and systems,
mm-hmm.
but you are overseeing all the operations?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
You're not just paying your certificate?
Yes. I'm involved now.
Okay.
So.
All right. Good.
I learned.
Okay.
So.
I don't know if we can clearly identify something. There's been a slew of managers in there prior to your time. If we can identify somebody, then I think we could revisit this. But I think with Ms. Melinda here, I think that she just doesn't have enough time at the chair. A lot of those things predated her. So I'll make a motion that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 21-176, as manager Melinda Libri.
Second.
So Ken motion, Susan second. Discussion. Here now we'll take it to a roll call vote.
President Kidder?
Yes. Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
All right, motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. Okay, next is complaint 21-178. Is Mr. Ralph Warren here?
Yes.
All right, welcome.
Services, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Brookdale Central Chandler, located at 1919 West Carla Vista Drive in Chandler, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 14 deficiencies in 8 different areas. Mr. Bourne was notified of the complaint, but he did not send in a written response. However, the current manager, Penelope Watkins, who assumed the management position at Brookdale Central, did set up the plan of correction for the facility. On approximately November 26, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violations. The manager failed to ensure that before providing assisted living services to a resident, a manager or caregiver provided current documentation of first aid training and cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR training certifications specific to adults. Number two, the manager failed to ensure the disaster plan required in subsection A1 was reviewed at least once every 12 months. That is the conclusion of my synopsis.
All right, thank you, Brad. All right, so inspection is September 21. You were manager during that time?
Yes.
Okay. Talk to me about the personnel issues that took place here.
So I was asked, I work for Brookdale Senior Living, I was asked to put my license on that building in July. They recently let go of the executive director that had been there for several years. I went over in July, identified a number of areas that needed a lot of attention. So I went in, we got help from our district clinical team and just went through everything. We started off with the files, realized that you know, there were gaps in the employee files.
All right, so you started there in July?
Correct.
Okay. How large is this facility?
112.
And who was the manager prior to you?
Denise Downing.
And the current manager is the?
Penelope Watkins.
I guess I'm curious, if this was sent to you, did you respond to this, or she responded?
She responded to the survey.
So, when did you leave the manager position?
October.
Why didn't you answer the manager of record?
We worked on it together. She was just the one that submitted it.
Are you still employed with this organization, or were you just helping?
I was just helping that building. I'm still with Brookdale. I'm over at Apache Junction.
So when you started there in July, so you've got some regional people, other consultants that come in to identify problems?
Yeah, there were several areas that needed a deep dive into.
So just tell me a little bit about what was your primary focus when you hit the door going in there?
I've got to go in there, I've got to, you know, start from scratch. So I utilize the survey tool. We've got an internal audit. I just go in and start off in various different areas, have people working, identifying the problems that we need to fix. And one of those items was the employee files.
Well, it sounds to me like you did what a reasonable person would be taking over and these problems predate his manager appointment to the facility. He brought in additional people, consultants, and additional regional staff to try to help out. I have prepared to make a motion. Unless there are any other questions. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of violation and dismiss complaint number 21-178 against manager Ralph Horn.
Second.
Okay, Ken motion, Susan second. Discussion. Hearing none, we take it to a roll call vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Nay.
All right, motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Okay, next on the agenda is number 4, complaint 21-179. Valen Marietta, how about that? Thanks for being here today. And if you were during the discussion, and because we have microphones and those on the phone, you can pull your mask down, it's much easier to hear you. For the record, would you please state your name?
Belen Murrieta.
Okay, great, thank you. All right, Brandon, if you could outline the case for us, please.
This is case 21179. Licensee is Bayland Marietta. On September 1st, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Sierra Adult Care LLC, located at 4933 South Casilla Way in Tucson, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 11 deficiencies in 7 different areas. Ms. Marietta was noticed of the complaint, and she did send her response, her written response. On approximately November 15th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violations. The manager failed to ensure personnel records for each employee included documentation of compliance with requirements for 1 of 3 personnel record samples. The manager failed to ensure there was a means of exiting the facility for a resident who does not have a key, special knowledge for egress, or the ability to expand increased physical effort and provided access to an outside area, allowing the resident to be at least 30 feet away from the facility and controlled or alerted employees of the egress of a resident from the facility. The manager failed to ensure a disaster plan was developed and documented to include how a resident's medical record will be available to individuals providing services to the resident during a disaster, a plan to ensure each resident's medication will be available to administer to the resident during a disaster, and a plan for obtaining food and water for individuals present in the assisted living or the assisted living facility's relocation site during a disaster. This concludes my synopsis.
All right, thank you. Okay, I see that you say you weren't aware that an individual could continue to work with an expired fingerprint clearance card. What have you learned from this inspection and this whole process?
Well, we got a little bit disoriented with COVID. We had a really everybody, we got sick and during the COVID season. We kind of, that was an emergency thing, and my, what I noticed on my side, I overlook like the fingerprinting expiration, and then with the TB test, and, because my caregiver got sick. And then everybody, we were sick. It was a disaster, as you know. So I focused myself more in the health of the residents to keep them alive. So the administration, like fingerprinting and everything, kind of went over my head at that time. I've been a manager for 20 years, and this is the first time they just, I noticed I got completely, I didn't have a control of the other paperwork and things like that. Like I said, at that time it was more important to have the people alive and to continue providing the care that was needed. And for that reason, that's the only explanation I can see that it was my mistake during that time. And after, thank God, 70% of the people survived. And so after this pandemic, I got extra help in the office because this is a 10-bed facility. So to have extra eyes in all those problems that I had before. And it's working very well, so I'm, together with my help, we are getting day by day everything that needs to be done on paperwork. And that's how I'm trying to have everything in control.
How long have you been a manager at this home?
I've been a manager. I'm the owner, so I've been for 21 years.
And do you work there full time?
Yes, I work all the weekends. I'm there, nighttime I'm there, and
4 hours in the morning. In the morning, I stay there. So actually, I think I stay like 16 hours a day. So like I said, I'm very close to them. And when the pandemic was there, I was 24 hours there. Working with them, trying to help as much as I can with them. That was my major focus in the situation, to help them not to get worse with COVID. And even myself, I got sick and I continue. My caregivers got sick and we were living there and working. And so I know it's not an excuse not to have the papers, everything in control.
Okay, did after this inspection, have you taken any additional in-service education? Have you taken education on anything regarding fingerprint?
Oh yeah, everybody got the fingerprinting right away. I enforced them to have it done, the x-rays for one lady that she was positive. So everything what I did wrong during that time, it was done right away. And so I tried to fix everything in less than.
What kind of system did you put in place then after the survey to make sure that this doesn't happen again?
Like I said, I got extra help in the office. So we are checking the books and everything. And then on the calendar, I write who is next. So something that we can see every day. Because sometimes time goes fast and they get busy in something else. So now, like a TB test and fingerprinting and everything is on the calendar.
It's on the calendar.
So we can see it like monthly by monthly or day by day.
So the other question I have is about the egress. It says that it was blocked.
Oh,
the door.
Actually, it wasn't blocked. It was open because it got broken during that time, and I didn't hire somebody to come and fix it.
Okay.
And also the. The fire department, sometimes they say it shouldn't be locked. It should be open.
And so what is the rule saying that if, since we can't lock the door, what are we supposed to do?
I got a system that is, they can open it from outside. Like the regular locks that we have in the home, but instead of going inside, they can open it outside. And I have, they can go and open it and anybody from outside. So inside I have a key, that way the residents don't open it. And so it's been working very well. And then I put a sign in the door saying that after they leave, they have to put the lock. So we make sure it's not open, that way they don't run away.
Would be your understanding of the rules that we're allowed to lock from the inside?
No, it's not
prohibiting a resident to get out.
I'm talking about the outside gate.
Oh, the outside gate.
The gate.
Okay.
Inside, I put a little door, like a doorbell.
Yes.
When they open it, they ring.
So that your caregivers know that somebody opened the door.
Oh yes. Uh huh.
The gate that is locked. If the resident goes out the front door, how far away can they be from the house? Can they get away from the house?
They can go in front. It's like a the porch.
Okay.
They can go like that, and there is a big window, so we can see them through the window. The kitchen is like in the middle.
And so how far away, if they can't get out the gate, because the gate's locked,
mm-hmm.
how far away from the building can the residents get? Let's say it's on fire, how far away can they get?
It's like so many feet. It's from here, like from there to there. From this wall to there. From wall to wall. I didn't measure.
40 feet.
Yeah. Okay. More than 30?
Maybe.
All right, have you taken some educational classes subsequent to this? Anything regarding emergency preparedness, personnel requirements?
No, not officially, but I was talking to another one lady that she had, she used to do classes before, and I was telling her about the problem, so she was advising me, giving me clues about things, and she checked my the deficiencies, the correction plan of corrections. So she checked on it, and so she advised me to what to do and everything what I was planning to do. She said it was okay. So I went on and put the plan of corrections. I sent it to a copy to your board.
Have you done your disaster?
Yes.
Have you been doing them regularly?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
And the reason you didn't do it was why?
I did it at that time, and I was doing it, but something happened. I was trying to get some kind of help in the office, and the person, she just put it put it away, and I didn't have it on time when the inspection was, and I didn't know where she put it. And what I noticed from the old plan, it wasn't written that correctly, but with the new plan, I understood better how to write it, but I had a plan already. I already had a contract with one hotel that I talked to them in case something really happened that we could transfer the residents to there, and they knew about it. And what I learned from this, how I put it in paper, it wasn't the correct way. But I had a plan. And another thing I learned, it was like on the transportation, I learned that we cannot use the Medicare and those kind of transportation. And I thought that they were more liable, those kind of transportation for the disaster. So I learned on that, private transportation is a lot better. So I got a few telephones from different private companies to use. And also I told the families, I always had a good support from the families. And I can call the POAs, and they can come and help with their family member. So everything, it was, taking care, but like I said, it wasn't put it in the right paper setup. But now it's, I did it, and it got accepted by the inspection surveyor. So I'm going to continue following that form and that procedure.
All right,
Christina,
how long have you been the owner and manager of this home?
21 years.
And did I hear you correctly that this was the first time that you have had any problems?
Yes.
With the surveys?
I had another little problems before, but they were able to fix with no further action. Okay. And this is my first time with that it got to further actions.
Okay.
which for me was like very, very serious.
And what is your census today?
What is what?
What is your census? How many people do you have?
I have 9 residents.
You talked about COVID and having lived through that, and it has been devastating for most everybody that's in the business. I understand that. We still have a responsibility. I understand that as well. I think just from her testimony and the actions that she has taken subsequent to the inspection, as she demonstrates, she knows what she needs to do. She's involved with her facility. I'm not sure that I would have to recommend additional education. Would we want to go with perhaps with a dismissal or maybe with a letter of concern?
Letter of concern.
Okay.
I'd be okay with that.
She,
on her own, sought consultation from somebody who had been in the professional realm and resolved everything with their advice.
In the areas of personnel and emergency disaster, just letting her know that those are important issues to us.
For the concern?
Yeah, for the concern.
Was that a motion?
Or a motion? I'll get there. Give me a second.
Insufficient evidence. Pop up on my screen that there is going. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 21-179 against manager Valen Marietta for issue of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to maintain valid fingerprint cards for all staff and failed to maintain adequate emergency preparedness plan.
Second.
Ken motion, Wally second. Discussion. All right, hearing none, we'll take it to a roll call vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
All right, motion carries.
So the board issued you a letter of concern, which is an advisory letter, basically telling you not to let this happen in the future. Staff will send it to you in the next couple of days.
And what do they need to do? What?
Staff will notify. It's a letter of concern. It's a non-disciplinary action. And it's advising you not to let this happen in the future. We will send you the document in the next couple of days. I will probably inform you better.
Okay.
Okay.
If I have a question, I will.
Thank you very much for coming down.
Okay.
Staff is happy to talk to you after the meeting.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Number 5, 21-180, Aloysius Nayakana. Please, come on up. Have a seat. And welcome. Appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much.
And if you would, for the record, please state your name.
My name is Aloysius Nayakana.
Okay. All right, thank you.
This is complaint 21-180. Licensee is Aloysius Nayakana. On October 8, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Penn Z Care Home LLC, located at 43448 West Wild Horse Trail in Maricopa, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 7 deficiencies in three different areas. The licensee, Mr. Nyakana, was noticed and he did respond with his written response. On approximately November 15th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violations. The manager failed to ensure a caregiver provided documentation of completion of a caregiver training program approved by the Department of the NCIA Board. And number 2, the manager failed to ensure at least the manager or a caregiver was present at an assisted living home when a resident was present in the assisted living home. That is my conclusion.
All right, thank you. Okay. All right, I think our biggest concern here that I would like to discuss is about caregiver or documentation of a caregiver receiving appropriate training as approved through this NCIA board. The second being that either the manager or a caregiver being present in the home at all times. So first, let's talk about documentation of caregiver training program. Tell me what happened.
All right. Madam Elizabeth, thank you. She helped me so much in the preparation of this, and she helped me. Madam Susan, Mr. President, and all the board members, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. In regards to the complaint letter 21180 conducted by the Department of Health Services in October, by the time the surveyor came on to duty or to do the surveying of the facility, one of the members who is the owner of the facility had gone to Costco to buy groceries. It was around 3 p.m. and by the time Mrs. Laurie came in, she wasn't there. But however, there was another caregiver on duty who was Christine, who was working by then. This caregiver had a caregiver certificate from the state of California, but of course I understand it doesn't count. She had all the other documentation. She was working as the volunteer because Rhoda was working there as the owner, so she was certified. And today I came with all their certifications. In my response to the letter that I wrote to the Department of Health Services, I told them that she was undergoing classes, and around after 2 months from then, she obtained her caregiver certification from the state of Arizona. But secondly, she was also CNA for 10 years. So she knew what she was doing, but we just had to get the papers for Arizona here so that we can have her certified. So that's...
So who hired that person? Did you hire or the owner?
I did the hiring.
Okay. Did you know at that time that certificate from California was not enough?
Yes, I knew, and then I had as assistant caregiver or volunteer.
So this individual was working as an assistant caregiver or volunteer under direct supervision?
Yes, under direct supervision of the owner.
Of the owner, who is certified?
Yes.
And that owner
had gone
left without you knowing?
He had gone to my grocery, actually. So when Lori came in, they gave me a call that the state is here. I said, okay. So I spoke to Lori and asked Rhoda to run back. So by the time Rhoda came back, Lori had just left, and that was it.
Did the owner tell you that they were leaving to go buy groceries?
She hadn't informed me because I wasn't on site.
Okay.
You managed 2 homes?
Yes, I managed 2 homes. They are all under the same owner, so it's only 5 minutes apart.
Would you have been available to go grocery shopping or to cover?
Yes, I would have been available, but they didn't inform me that they were going to do grocery. So she didn't tell me that she was going to do it.
So if they had let you know, this could have been averted?
Yes, if she had told me that she was going to do grocery, probably I would have brought it right out and covered it until she came back. Well, it was about probably like 30 minutes out.
So if you learned something from this, and if you created a new plan with the owner, that if something like this happens again, what do you do?
Yes, I've learned a lot. So what I did, I told the owner, regardless of what, we should have three caregivers on duty. I don't want to have any volunteers there without a certified caregiver. So she's either there, or she has someone there who's certified at all times, in order not to endanger our residents.
How much time do you spend in this home?
36 hours a week.
36 hours a week?
Yeah.
So you're there every day?
Yes, I'm there every day, yeah.
How many hours do you spend at the second home?
Second home, about the same, but usually I divide it. If I'm at Penzi for like 4 hours, I do 4 hours at the other facility.
So you're working about 72 hours a week between the two homes?
Yes.
I think he knows his regulations.
I think so too. And owners are also under the cost of the time.
Why was the civil penalty at DHS $1,000 for two violations? Was there priors? Was this a repeat violation or something?
Yes, sir. It was a repeat violation, but I wasn't the manager by that time. The manager by that time was Paula Cox, who was fired, I think, for not doing her job. So when the State Department came in again and found the same thing, they had to penalize us $1,000, for which we paid and submitted in the plan of correction within 10 days.
Thank you.
What was the duplicate?
It was, I would assume it's the same thing.
All three the same that it's in?
Caregiver without the appropriate paperwork and
leaving the residents alone.
Those aren't duplicates. They're not. Are they listed as duplicates?
That's why I asked what the $1,000 civil penalties were. He testified that there were priors against the facility
for the same thing.
Same as an infraction. Right?
Yeah, that's not.
I'm sorry.
It's not what the report says, and DHS will do penalties regardless of whether they are repeat deficiencies or not. I'm just curious. But
probably was 500 each for each of the two.
Mm-hmm. All right, do we want a letter of concern or just some?
Well, I mean, what can we do about the residents being left alone? That worries me more than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, how are we going to know?
Without a certified caregiver.
Well, yeah, how are we going to know that this is not going to happen a third time? We can't let the residents be alone, period, for any reason.
Why don't you address that for us? What's the plan that will keep this from happening again?
Yes, I addressed that prior. I said that we ensure that we hired three caregivers on all duty, meaning at all times, meaning that we need to have two certified caregivers there and one volunteer. That's what's happening right now in all the two homes. I told her, I don't care how much you have to pay for these caregivers. I know you're having shortage. Please pay them, and we need to sort this because I don't want my license to be in danger. And I gave her a letter of warning, and I told her, if any of this occurs, I'll have to resign from the position.
So you're asking the owner that we need to do this. Is that correct?
Usually she controls the budget. So before I hire any other person, I have to let her know that, you know what, we need these people to be there all the time. I can't risk having this business.
So you're testifying, I think, that there will be qualified people there at all times to oversee the residents that you're taking care of.
Sir, actually, matter of fact, there are always two caregivers 24/7.
And you are in compliance with that today?
Yes, sir, we are.
And so we won't see you back on that same issue again.
I don't think you will.
I do not think. I won't see you back here again for that problem.
Yes, sir.
To the president and board members also, there is no mention of any of these being repeat deficiencies from DHS in the report.
They're not
repeats. All right. I'd like to do a letter of concern. I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation of complaint number 21-180 involving manager Alicia Nagakana. But issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to ensure compliance with personnel requirements.
I'll second.
Could, would you please also add about residents being left alone? That's a letter of concern.
Okay, yeah, sort of encompassing, let me parse that out. So the concern is that the manager failed to maintain adequate personnel requirements and failed to ensure qualified staff were available at all times.
Thank you.
That's good.
Thank
you.
All right. Motion by Ken, second by Melanie. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll take it to a vote. Roll call vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Steven?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
All right, motion carries.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead. The board issued a letter of concern. It's a non-disciplinary action. It's like a warning letter. Not to let this happen again. We'll send it out to you in the next week or so. All right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming down.
Okay, next, moving on. Tab number 6, complaint number 21-181, Bob Trout.
Okay.
Please, come on, have a seat. Welcome. All right, Brandon, if you don't have the case. Oh, before we do that, Mr. Trout, for the record, would you please state your name?
My name is Bob Trout.
All right, thank you. All right, Brandon.
Hi, this is case number 21-181, the licensee is Dot Trout. On September 30th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at DT Care 3, located at 7648 West Mary Jane Lane in Peoria, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 20 deficiencies in 12 different areas. Mr. Tran was notified of the complaint. He did send a written response. On approximately November 26, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violations. The manager failed to ensure caregiver provided current documentation for first aid and CPR training before providing assisted living services for one of two caregivers. The manager failed to ensure before or at the time of acceptance of a resident submitted documentation signed by a medical practitioner or a registered nurse stating whether the individual required continuous medical services, continuous or intermittent nursing services, or restraints for two of two residents reviewed. The manager failed to ensure medication was administered in compliance with a medication order for one of two residents reviewed. That is my conclusion.
All right, thank you. All right, Mr. Tran, let's start here. It says that you were not able to be there at the time of the survey, and that your employee was not, that was there, was not able to provide the documentation.
Yes.
Was there documentation that was there and complete?
Yes. Yeah, at that time, I was not on the site, and I was on the other house. I'm the owner and manager of two houses. And my caregiver is not, you know, with my CPR, it's my CPR and my TB test. But, you know, I had, you know, the hard copy in the other house, but I forgot to have a copy in the other house.
So you had a current card, you just,
yes.
You had it at the other location?
Yes.
Okay. So how do we know now that you resolved that so that this won't happen in the future?
I'm sorry, because I forgot that time, so that time, you know, if I have a new one, I have to do a update on the new location and make sure, you know, always have a documentation in the house.
In each house?
Yeah, in each house.
Do you have other workers that go back and forth between the houses?
I'm sorry?
Do you have other workers that go back and forth between the houses?
No.
Just you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have a complete file in each?
Yes. I will do it.
It's a balancing act running two facilities at the same time as the manager. And you have 20 deficiencies, I think that was the number on this one. The balancing act seems to be out of whack. Tell me what your quality program is that you use for each facility, but this one in particular, to ensure when you are cycling back and forth 5 to 6 hours a week each, you're ensuring that the proper medications, the proper medical care is being taken care of. What do you do to check each time you come back to make sure that this is being done? Some of these deficiencies, in my opinion, were pretty serious and could have led to some really significant problems. So what do you do for your quality assurance?
You know, just remind my caregiver who is, you know, is replace me when I'm not in the house. And I'm almost like every day I go to, you know, both house in the morning or in the afternoon. And I check if the time, we check it, you know, the paperwork. But some...
If you checked one of the 20 deficiencies of this kind, what's going on?
It's one of, you know, it. Very hard for me in that time for the pandemic, the COVID. Is one of my residents have her mom is like his POA, and she got sick every time in our hospital. She cannot come to the house to sign it like a service plan. I repeat, I call many times, but she cannot come. And how come I complete that?
So you're saying that because one of the employees you have is having significant problems in her life, can't show up,
that
those other things just happen then, right?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I cannot have a, like, the POA have to sign a paperwork, and the POA cannot show up.
Well, I think though your license is the one on the wall, isn't it? You're the one accountable and responsible for making stuff happen. If you can get staff to do it, that's great. If you can't get staff to do it, you get it, right?
To the board, I think he's saying the POA and not an employee.
It's for the service plan.
For the service plan, the POA is the POA of the resident. It's not, you know, it's my staff.
So those signatures reflect some of the deficiencies.
Yes.
There are other deficiencies. I think the question then is, what do you do now when you go from this house to this house? It sounds like you work most of your time at the other house.
No, the other house is just like 4 patients. I don't know, you know. And this house is like 8 patients. I put more house in this house.
Okay.
But things just happened because of the family.
And from your,
some of it.
Yeah, from your provider, it's like one of the region in which the hospital care. And the hospital always send, it's like the RN, they never send like PARP, NP, or your, you know, your doctor to see the hospital. And when we, you know, we need the paper to sign it, the RN cannot sign the paper. You have to bring it back to your organization, and sometimes they, you know, you submit very good time, and sometimes they forgot, and we keep continue to call and to.
Would that be for the service plans?
Yes, okay. In all the, even.
Or medications?
Yeah, even the medication.
So if the RN can't sign it and they don't take it back to the office or the practitioner, what do you do now instead?
I give it to them the documentation. Okay, please, you know, bring back to your company.
And if they don't, what else could you do? What else would you do?
I will call the, you know, the director or, you know, the hospital the office, and we need the documentation for the state, because, you know, they can come and check every time.
And but have you had success with that? Now that, did
yes.
you tell them you got in trouble?
Yes.
And now, do they get signatures for you on
yes,
time?
Yes, yes. But if not, it's at the time. It's like sometimes it took about like 2 weeks, a month, or especially in the pandemic COVID, sometimes they, you know, very, very hard communication at that time. And most of the time, we just have a problem with the family, with the provider.
So are you telling us that the problem with ensuring that the medicine was administered the proper way was done by you not having the paperwork? Or a hospice patient?
Yes. When they send the patient sent to us from the hospital, and your hospice follow your patient. And some hospice they do a really good job. They sign all the paper, the medication, and follow up. But some hospice they come and they didn't do the good job. So that's why we have to, you know, talk to them, communicate with them. But sometimes it hard.
Okay.
And we got a problem.
I have one more question. Why didn't the caregiver call you to tell you the surveyor was in-house, and why didn't you come over to be there for the survey?
No, I can talk. It's normally when the survey comes to see, and if we don't, you know, submit the documentation at that time, we have, it's like 2 or 3 days, we submit by the mail or by, you know, it's like many times when Laura come and, okay, I need this, and, you know, tomorrow or the day before that, I send to her. But I didn't get, you know, at that time.
No, what I'm saying is when the surveyor came to this house and you were not there,
yes.
Did the caregiver that was there call you and tell you a surveyor was at the other house?
Maybe at that time I, you know, I'm not have time to go back like, you know, the house right away, or, you know, it's like that. And I talk, it's after survey, you know, always like the day after that, Laura, you know, send to me, okay, I need this. You know, that's why, you know, I just wait and I didn't come back to your home. Or it's all my fault, because I cannot submit and correct, do the correct thing. That's all my fault. I have a paper and I cannot submit. I have a request to the RN, a request to provider. I cannot have support. That's all my fault because of communication.
So you're saying the surveyor didn't give you an opportunity to follow up and send in paperwork?
Yes.
That you did have?
Yes.
Did you document when you've asked for a signature? Did you document that you've asked and how long it takes to get it back?
I'm sorry, figure.
You said that the hospice doesn't always get you signatures back from the provider
yes.
in time.
Yeah.
Do you document that?
Yes.
And you keep a list?
Yeah.
How many times you make contact?
Yes, that is my caregiver, and even me, you know, talk to your caregiver, provider. I need it, please, you know, but, you know, sometimes.
Have you had this problem ongoing with this hospice? Is this a new problem, or has this been kind of a major problem trying to get them to respond on a timely basis?
With the big hospice, we very rare to have this, the problem. But with the new hospice, sometimes you did good job, sometimes you didn't do a good job.
So you changed providers to get better response?
But that depends on your family. Your family have a choice, they choose your hospice. We cannot choose your hospice.
So you're stuck with whatever they bring in?
Some hospice.
Education, what are you concerned with?
I think he knows the basics of the rules, and I think that we're gonna hear for probably the next year how COVID has affected every facility and policies and procedures and things that have taken place or not taken place.
20 deficiencies is huge.
20 is a lot. A lot of them are duplicated. They're duplicated in the concept for the same thing, if that makes sense. I can explain that better, but that doesn't excuse it. He said it's his fault and that he understands. So I think part of the question is, what are you doing different? And we've asked more than once. When you go from this house to this house, your caregivers have been over here working for 2 days, and now you come in, what do you look at when you get there? What are you checking on?
The first thing I have to do is, you know, remind your caregiver, do your writing. It's like medication or, you know, some provider just come and update medication. And normally I bring out your MAR for monthly for the duration, but some of the providers just come and update, you know, for the new medication, and your caregiver just write down in the MAR. And sometimes they did not do the writing, like the trazodone 50 milligram, and now the provider increased like 100 milligram. And so she just write, okay, trazodone, and one, and that's it.
I understand. So, as a manager, when a new order comes in at the other house, do they call you and tell you?
Sometimes, you know, your caregiver come and they notice me right away. Sometimes they forgot, and they just wait until, you know, it do the MAR for the printout, and just get right in the, you know.
So they're waiting for you to do the printout?
Yes.
But how can you do the printout if they didn't call you? So,
no,
I guess I'm asking, how are you teaching and coaching your caregivers? Because ultimately it's your job as the manager to be training and doing in-service, right?
We do.
So what are you doing with them so that they know every single time they need to call you, so that you can, if you're doing a printed mark, that you can print it? How, and then when you go there, are you looking at it?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Yes. First of all, for monthly, for the new MAR, that is, I have to do that. But for your, you know, emergency case, they need to notice me. I recognize your problem, and I correct your problem. But they are human. Sometimes they did, and they didn't notice me. And that one, it's like a couple of days before Laura come, you know, they update the medication. And that is like 28 or the end of the month. So I came and I correct, I bring out the new one, but they steal all the old one and they roll it there. And the door is not correct, or they didn't write the door for your medication. That is one, you know, for example, what for the medication service. That is sometimes, but I need to check more often. That is, I promise, and I keep promise to check more often about the medical record.
And how often are you checking now?
Now, right now, I have to check it like double or three times a week. That I have to do to correct, you know. I don't want it to happen again.
Didn't you respond to DHS that you were going to check that stuff on a daily basis? Your plan of correction?
Yes, yes. I submit the correction.
You just said you're doing it a minimum 3 days a week?
Yes. I correct you, and I am with your plan.
So you're not doing it on a daily basis like you told DHS you were going to do?
Yeah.
I don't know that. Understood. Is there another way, if you don't go there every day, maybe you go there 3 times a week? What else do you do if you need to follow up on something? If you're only there 3 times a week, what else are you doing to make sure your caregivers are following your rules?
Like I say, right now, I go to two house every day.
You are going to both houses every day?
Every day. In the morning, in the afternoon, that house. That's it. That's the way I have to check on it. And I have a caregiver, and they work with me like more than 2 years, but still, you know, sometimes we need to remind them.
Okay. Any additional education?
I don't think that having the recommendation of personnel requirements, I don't think that would be necessary. So any record keeping and residency agreements?
His residency agreement, he said Peter Wade was sick and couldn't come in and sign it, so he knew that.
Yeah, that's part of the pandemic stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right, but revert to whatever concern. Residency agreements.
Record keeping.
Record keeping?
Because that encompasses kind of personnel files as well as getting your new orders, verbal orders signed by the practitioner in time, kind of all of that.
Okay. All right. So I will make a motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R433407A and B1 for professional conduct and complaint number 21-181 involving manager Dak Tran, and the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, the stay of the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $582. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required to document a completion in each of the following areas. Record keeping, anything else? Okay, any costs of the probation are those on the certificate holder? So, get a motion, Water second, discussion. You're going to take to roll call vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
All right, motion carries.
Manager Tran, the board voted to offer you a consent agreement, which is a disciplinary action. And if you were to sign it, it's going to require you to get 3 hours of continuing education in the area of record keeping. So we'll send that to you.
Thank you.
and within the next week, 10 days. If you have questions, give me a call. Thank you for coming down today.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but prior to that, I want to do a quick roll call to see who we have here. I do not have Sylvia Tudos.
She's here.
So you're here, okay. Don't come up yet. Bethel Lee. Okay, do not see Bethel here. Caroline Nayaro. Okay, now you don't come up yet. Okay, so she's here. Sylvia Bellwright. Okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and we'll be back. We're ready to keep moving. Thank you, Ray.
On June 16, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Country Manor Assisted Living located at 2815 North 48th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified four deficiencies in one area. Ms. Sasachaki was notified of the complaint but failed to respond with a written response. On approximately November 3rd, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violation. The manager failed to ensure cooling systems maintained the assisted living facility at a temperature between 70 degrees Fahrenheit and 84 degrees Fahrenheit degrees at all times. That's my conclusion.
Okay. May I call you Ms. Adoma?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Ms. Adoma, can you tell me, first of all, why is it that you did not respond to the notice of complaint from this board?
We did. When they came and noticed that they, because we have four central air conditions, and the fourth one was so close to the door that opens every time, back and forth. And you know how hot it is in Arizona during the summer. So that one keep on breaking constantly. And they came and they complained about the air condition. We promised not to repair it again because we keep on repairing the air condition constantly, which doesn't help us go anywhere, so we promised to change it, the entire system of the air conditioning, which we did. We went to, and we went to the health and met Miss Laurie,
who we spoke with, who agreed when we presented our problem for the correction, which we submitted on April 21st. So July 14th, we received a letter from them telling us that they have received the request that we made. And unfortunately, 15th of that July, they came again to check if what something has been done on the air condition. But when they came, they saw that we moved our residents to the places where the working air conditions were, and that one we have already started working on it. And based on all these things, they came back again reporting, they came back on 16th July to make sure that we did what we promised them to do, which to move the residents to the sections where it's working and to have the opportunity and chance to repair the one or replace the one that wasn't working properly in the property. So we complied with them and we did it, we changed it. So based on this and all the rest of them, and I'm just, based on the nature of our complaint, I'm just requesting for extension because I will need to have a representative who will speak much better on this case for me. But during all this time, my designated caregiver, who was, even now, she is still living in the complex 24/7 with the residents. And also, the number one designated Gary Hall has been there for more than 26 years in this facility. So I'm just praying and asking the people to give us extension to finish whatever is required of us in this place.
Okay, so I'm going to come back to my question because you didn't answer it, but it shows here that the DHS came out on June 16th,
mm-hmm.
identified that your air conditioner wasn't working. What were you, or how much time prior to June 16th was the air conditioner broken?
The air condition, because the position where the air condition is, because they are four of them. This one is very close to the door, being open every time, every minute, every second. We keep on breaking down. We keep on repairing. But when they came and found out that it wasn't properly working, we just threw away repairing. We said we have to replace everything. So for them to give us time to do it. So they received our plan on 14th, which they wrote us a letter. But on 15th, because they didn't give us chance, I didn't think that there were communication between them. This another set came on 15th for the same problem. So there is no way we could have done everything on 14th while they came back on 15th. So I'm asking for mercy and, you know, extension. So I need extension for this. Right now, I'm telling you, the air condition has been replaced.
Okay. Now, I want to go back to my question. Why did you not respond to this board? What it sounds like to me is you responded to the Department of Health Services, which oversees your facility operations. This board is different. This board regulates your certification as a manager, and our board sent you a letter of complaint that you were to respond to this board. And can you tell me why you did not respond to this board?
Honestly speaking,
because I think I respond to Elizabeth.
All I got was an email saying that they were going to send a response, but I didn't get an email with a written response or anything.
Yes, because she was very sick, and I explained, and then I got sick, and I explained, and then she decided to have representation because it was a contradiction between what we had spoken with the first surveyors and the new surveyors. So she said, you know, don't respond. She decided that we would just ask to have representation because there was too many confusion. The instruction we got from the health department and the instruction we got from different surveyors. So when I respond, I wrote to you. I had asked, can I send everything? Because she was at the time very sick. And she said, yes, send everything. But she would have to come in person. And then I got sick, and then I wrote to Elizabeth. I said, Elizabeth, I'm so sorry, I got sick myself. And when she got better, she instructed me, you know, to send a response because she was looking for the presentation.
Okay.
So,
all right, thank you. Do you understand that the reason you're here today is to discuss your actions or inactions in relation to how you're operating your facility? Okay. All right, so I want to make sure you understand that. Can I ask you?
Let's see, I'd like a little more clarification on your air conditioning issue. It sounds to me, based on what you're saying, your home has a number of air conditioners. They are not a centralized unit that controls the cooling in the entire home. Is that correct?
Yes.
How many do you have? How many units?
Four.
You have four units.
Four. But one was it's only one that is faulty.
And you have all your air conditioning units on a continuous service agreement to make sure they're checked before July.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of response time do you expect from your air conditioning people when they don't work?
I would like them to respond immediately because I have people living there and knowing the condition and weather of Arizona. It needed immediate response. But when we decided, because I sat with my caregivers, designated caregivers, when we discussed, we said no need of going back and forth trying to call people to cover. It's better for us to replace it with the new one, which we did.
Did DHS, when they cited you for temperature violation, give you a specific temperature that they measured in order to determine that? What was the temperature inside that room with the faulty air conditioner at the time DHS cited you?
Yeah, it was hot.
How hot is hot? Over 100 degrees?
But they were not occupied.
No people. No, we didn't have people.
So you were aware it was hot already?
Yeah, that's why we
already moved the residents to a cooler environment.
The other section, yes.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And that's where we had gone to the health department also to tell them that this is what we will do in the meantime.
Do you have any temperature devices inside each of the rooms that give you some sense of what temperatures you're running?
Thermostats.
Say, I couldn't quite catch that.
I said thermostats.
Thermostat.
Oh.
All right. So can I ask a question? On the survey that we have, it says
temperatures were taken in three bedrooms, three separate bedrooms. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be just the first bedroom that's by the door. It would be at least two other bedrooms, and the temperatures were 92, 93, and 94, respectively. Were none of those rooms in an area where an air conditioner was working?
We have 16 bedrooms.
You have 16 bedrooms, so they all have independent?
No, some of them are shared.
No, no, no. Do they all have an independent cooling system? Each bedroom?
Regions, they are regions. So those that were under that big one, people were not living there.
So is that where those high temperatures were recorded?
Oh, yes.
So those people were moved out of that zone?
Yes.
Into another area?
Yes.
Okay. So today, what are you doing? Are you doing temperature checks on some sort of regular basis to make sure that this doesn't happen again?
Yes. When you go into the room, even without anything, if it is too hot, you will realize that that place is hot. So now that we have replaced the air condition, so we monitor the rooms to see if they are too hot. Even when it is too hot, even the residents there say, complain about it.
So how are you measuring that? If it's too hot, how are you measuring that? Just by how it feels?
No, the thermostat.
So you don't keep any temperature logs?
Oh.
No lists of temperatures every 3-4 hours, every couple of hours. You don't just write it down somewhere. Say, we measured around these four areas, and here are the temperatures we had. So if the state does come in again,
yeah, when they
you can say, here are the temperature logs we keep. You don't do that.
Yes, so they came
you
on
do
the,
do that.
If I'm on the premises, she makes sure I do that. And on the 16th, when they came back, they were coming actually to verify on the 16th. So on the 14th, we met with Lori. On the 15th, they received a complaint. So they came back, but I think they had not talked with Lori. So they came back as a new violation when they already knew the plan of correction. So on the 16th, when they looked at the temperature, on the 16th, they came and measured all the temperatures, and it was fine.
And how did the surveyor measure the temperatures?
They had this little thing.
A little thing.
Like,
so they didn't rely on the thermostat that was on the wall.
They had their gadget.
They had their
gadget.
Their little thing that I don't know their name.
Well, a thermometer of some sort. So
it has a laser thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
right.
So if you're relying on this is not a question.
I have a question. Your license is hanging in the home.
And
how much time do you spend in that home?
Okay, I have to responsible caregivers.
I'm sorry, what?
I have two responsible caregivers. One is living there, which is her.
That's not the question.
But that's
the question is how much time do you spend
that's
there?
That's what I'm saying.
No, you're not saying.
Okay.
How much time do you spend there?
Okay. I go there twice in a week. Sometimes randomly, when she doesn't even know, I will breathe in to see
how many hours per week you spend in this home?
I spend 2 to 3 hours. Each day that I go there.
About
I go
6
there,
hours a week?
Yeah, I go there like 3 to 4. 2 to 5 hours a week.
Okay, all right, thank you. Why did it take so long to replace the air conditioner?
Finance.
Sorry?
I'm so sorry. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to lay hands on finance. So, it wasn't.
Financially, you didn't have the money?
It wasn't that too easy to.
getting new. That's why we keep on repairing.
So the question of that is okay, if it's finances, so the air conditioner didn't get replaced because you didn't have enough money at the time, or the air conditioner didn't get replaced because the contractor wasn't timely?
If I can respond to that, she pressured me to replace the air conditioning the contract. We have a contract on file who comes every time we have need. But he told us, the design is bad. We are supervisory here. So people are very mobile. They're smokers. They go in and out all the time. So this thermostat is right here. And this covers the general area. So you have to split them. That way there is a synergy of air. And we move the thermostat away from the door. So when she said, we have to replace the AC, I explained to her, we are supervisory care, the average pays 800, because these people have lived there for 15, 20 years. They are no social security, they can't have an increase. So when I took over the facility, it's a 40-year-old facility when I purchased it, I just grandfathered those people, knowing that I would have to do other things, not depending on them to fix certain things. So that's why it took a little bit longer to plan. And also I realized it's a 40-year-old facility, after 50. That's why many people have been there for 20 years. So to change the air conditioning, I explained to her, I showed her when we met with the contractor. They have to change the entire duct system and the roof.
Okay.
Yeah, so we changed the roof. Now, the entire duct system, they say, you know, it will cost you more to change the entire duct system. Do the split system. So that's why it was not a little project, and it required not really to depend on the people there. So I explained to her that let's put it before the health department and present the idea and see what our options are. But unfortunately, even when we received the acceptable plan of correction, another surveyor came and cited us for the same.
So I have a question. So you're the owner.
Yes.
And now I understand that. Okay. You're the owner. You're the manager. You were prompting her to say, we need a new air conditioner. And you said, we'll see. At what point in time, before this survey or after this survey, did you move residents into rooms that were the appropriate temperature? After or before?
April 2nd, around February when the temperature started changing, we sat together and they say, here, you told me to change the AC, but I cannot change them. Here is why. I have this income coming.
So that was before the survey?
Before the survey.
You moved people into cooler rooms.
So before the survey, we told, she was there, we told the residents, okay, all these rooms are empty. Everybody needs to move to the rooms that have AC because repairing is not helping. You see how many times we've repaired. But our residents, we have 10 residents, they are all mobile. They spend, even the surveyor can tell you, they are out all the time. They are smokers. So we told them, move to the rooms that are cooler. Some of them say, oh, we are good here. And they are independent. We say, but it's required that you move to the same. And I told her, I said, did you move the residents? I said, you know, I told them to move. But they love their temperature. They are outside all the time. So when the surveyor came, I was on the premises, and they called her. And she said, did you move the residents? I said, I told the residents to move, and the surveyor were there. When the residents were just unwilling to move, basically the surveyor helped us make them move. They were screaming and kicking. They said, we are good where we are.
Where do these residents eat or watch television?
In the dining room.
What's the temperature in the dining room?
The temperature in the dining room, the AC worked there actually. But the way it's set, it has, when you turn on the lights, that's when the AC comes, because there is no, they use like 10 to 15 minutes to dine. So
sometimes, it's activated by motion?
Yes.
Okay.
It's activated by a switch. So sometimes the residents, they turn it off, and my room is behind the dining room.
They turn it up?
So when you turn the light up,
The light comes on.
And my room is behind that. It gets so cold. So the residents, sometimes they turn it off, just turning the lights off. So when the health department came, they said, but this is too hot. They said, no, this gets turned on 15 minutes before dining. That's when on the 16th, they came to check. So we had put a little note there. Do not turn off the light, because if you turn off the light, the AC is turned off. So when they came to check, they checked the temperatures everywhere the resident had to be, and the temperatures were good.
Okay. Get a little bit better understanding of your facility. How many residents are in each room? Normally,
there are there's one that is in his own room, and there are some rooms are for four residents.
And how many residents did you have to move because the zones were too hot? And how many people were in each room at that time?
Three.
A maximum of three people in the room after you moved them?
No, maximum three were in the area where it was hot.
And they were moved?
Yes.
And how long did they stay in a closer confines with other residents?
Oh no, because we are licensed for 37. But because of the works we do, we kept only 10 so we can rotate.
Okay.
So we have only 10 residents. So the rooms where they were moved, it was not that they were like occupied to capacity. So a room that had one person, we just put a second person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about your disaster plan. If those air conditioners went down, what would you do?
For now, when she agreed that I can, I explained to her that I really needed to replace, not to repair. She knows the rooms. I said, this is a room normally for four. So, there is a room that can take 10 people, where general area. So we took those 10 people, we put chairs, we put a new TV room, so that they can watch TV in a different place.
So if your air conditioning has really expired, and it sounded like it's old, and the building's old,
right,
and everything is pretty marginal, and you aren't always assured that the service guy will come, and money is tight, would the residents be moved to another facility? Have you got any indication of that, or would they just stay there and tough it out?
No. There's never been a case where we didn't have AC at all. It's one AC, one out of four. It's only one AC out of four. So it's not that the whole. And that's why when on the 16th, on the 14th of April, a surveyor came, because it was a complaint of a person just coming for the meds, and they stand right at the door. They feel the heat, but they don't know that there is ACs elsewhere. So on the 14th, when Lori came in, she went in all the room. I said, oh, you have AC? Yes, I said, yes, it's only this door. I mean, this area. So when we met and we submitted a plan of correction, it was accepted because they knew the residents were not in the heat. So, but unfortunately, it was meant to receive that plan of correction. Another complaint, because people come to visit, they don't know all the little details, and they don't go too far from the door. So when they did, they complained again. The new surveyors probably didn't know what the previous surveyor did, and didn't know that our plan of correction was not to replace, to repair again, but to replace, which would take more.
Okay, but there's a lot of detail. Basically, you said one surveyor didn't know what the other surveyor did. Were you documenting when you talked to residents and you have to move to a different room because your air conditioner doesn't work? Was that documented in the residence record?
Yes.
Okay, so any one surveyor can see exactly what the other surveyor saw. So you're saying I hear February, I hear April, the air conditioner is not working from February till approximately July or whatever you got this done.
Oh, no,
is
that the air conditioner worked periods of time. That's why finally we decided it's pointless to repair it. So it's better to replace and change the whole design because it's not that it was not working all that time. But we decided to stop repairing it already after we saw that repairing was not holding up because when it's 110 degrees and people come in and out every 2 minutes and the air going in, it wouldn't hold it.
Okay, so it wasn't working.
My concern is that her license is hanging there, but the owner is taking care of everything else. So I have a real issue with that. And I have an issue with that because the owner could not afford to have the air conditioner fixed.
But it's still responsible.
And the administrator is still responsible for the health and welfare of those residents, whether they want to be hot or not. We have rules we have to follow.
You are right, but I still complained to my caregiver, which made the decision of changing the entire unit, because I know that air condition was old enough, so we needed a new model just to change it.
Yeah. Are these room window air conditionings, or are these the large ones outside?
Come up again.
Central air conditioning. They're not window units.
No.
Okay. All right, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Okay.
And the reason I'm going to make the motion is that my ears at somewhere approximately between February and July, we had inadequate air handling systems operation.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what their efforts were, we had a very long period of time and it should have been resolved. Mm-hmm. I think it's the manager's responsibility to ensure, like you say, that they stay within the regulations.
Mm-hmm.
All right, based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of the violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R433-407A, and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-184 involving Adoma Esochagi, and board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, see the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be met, to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs amount of $519. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion in the following area, environmental standards, and the cost of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Motion by Ken, seconded by Wally.
I'd like to add something to the CEUs, if I could.
Okay.
I'd like to have a CEU for emergency and disaster preparedness.
Okay, so then I'll add to my motion 3 hours of continuing education in emergency and disaster preparedness. And while you
second.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take it to roll call vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph? Amber Randolph.
Sorry. Aye.
Amber Seaman.
Aye.
Amber Seaman.
Aye. All right, motion carries. Thank you.
So the board has voted to offer you a consent agreement to resolve the violations. It's a voluntary consent agreement. Staff will send it to you in the next week to 10 days. You can review it then. Thank you very much for coming down today.
Can we ask a question?
No, but thank you. Staff will be happy to talk to you after the meeting.
Oh.
It's not appropriate for a question right now.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, next we move on to tab number 8, complaint number 21-188, Arturo Morales. Welcome, appreciate you being here. And for the record, if you say your name, please.
Arturo Morillo.
Can you move the microphone just a little bit closer to you?
Arturo Morillo.
Okay, perfect. All right, Brandon, if you could put out my case for us, please.
This is case number 21-188. Licensee is Arturo Morillo. On September 28, 2021, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living compliance inspection at Caring for Generations, LLC, located at 4644 East San Carlos Place, South in Tucson, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 7 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Mr. Arturo was noticed at the complaint, which he did send a written response. On approximately November 15, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee owner for the following substantiated violations. Violation: the manager failed to ensure a caregiver provided documentation of completion of a caregiver training program approved by the department or the board of examiners for nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers. That's my conclusion.
All right, girl, thank you. Okay. Mr. Morillo, how long have you been in this facility?
Close to 2 years.
Okay. And what's the capacity of the home?
The what?
What's the capacity of
the home? That's 10 beds.
And how much time do you spend at the facility each week?
I try to go like 4 to 6 hours a week, mostly over the weekends.
Do you manage another home?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so we have some personnel issues, and then we also have some documentation issues and some life safety emergency preparedness issues. Tell me what happened here. How did these happen?
The employee, he was hired by the owner. And at the time, nobody knows that they can fake certificates. So now we got the policies and procedures that we have to call the trainers to, so we can double check the roster or the caregivers that didn't take the classes there. So the surveyor called I think it was care search, and it was
couple. This happened in my office this morning.
Well, that's okay. Does the mic still work?
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mic still, but we're not recording anymore, are we?
The
recorder's right there.
So the it's not the one who is still recording.
Yes.
Okay.
Fred, Melanie, are you still there on the line?
It's separate.